Good evening. What a suitable topic for this month, huh? White as snow. The color white, and some wouldn't even consider it a color, but it's one of the hardest to keep clean. The very smallest spot can be seen on white. I have plenty of white t-shirts, and sometimes I just wear them around the house, and when I eat, and I guess I'm a messy eater, I get stains on them. But I don't let the stain sit there because the longer you let it sit there, the harder it will be to remove. So we have one of those little Tide pins that you roll over it, and then you throw it in a washer, and it's brand new. Sometimes people will use bleach to whiten the whites. And so when we look at our souls, when one is in sin, they have defiled their souls. And so what do we do to get rid of that stain or stains in our souls? We come to Christ, whose blood washes away the sin. And now we are white as snow. We are clean in the eyes of God. And so when we look at, this morning we looked at the old self, what was involved with the old man. Now we are looking at the new man in which we are called to walk. No longer do we focus on the past, but now we focus on the present and the future. And for those who are Christians, we know the future holds eternal life. And so when we look at the letter to the Colossians from Paul, we see in chapter 3, and that's our main text all the way through the month, we see Paul talk to the Colossians and tell them what the new man is to do, what are the characteristics of the new man. And so when we look at verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, who are the elect? Well, the elect are those who are saved, those who are Christians, fellow believers. Now, we look in different areas like Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 10 here. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth in him. Paul here is talking about himself and the other apostles. But we see that language shift to the next few verses towards the end of this chapter. And so we see the apostles were chosen. Even before God knew who were going to be apostles from the beginning of time, before time began, we know God had this plan in store, that they would continue his son's work, his will, throughout the ages. And then after the apostles die, we see the disciples continue it out. And so we shift on down to verses 13 and 14 here of Ephesians 1. In him you also trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Now he shifts his focus to the Ephesians, those who are elect, who are predestined for eternal life. Christians, those whose souls are white as snow, who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The new man walks in newness of life. No longer do they walk in sin. Sin is the past. It's out of existence. They have put to death sin, as we talked about this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through faith to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. We have been presented as holy and blameless. Those who have made contact with his blood in baptism are now holy, blameless. But we can lose that sacrifice. According to Hebrews, those who continue willfully sinning will lose that sacrifice." We must understand that the elect of God walk as he walked, talked as he talked, and they look to glorify him every single day. It's not a once a week, twice a week ordeal. It is a daily thing we are to do. When we look at the Israelites, when they made the sacrifices, it was to be done daily. Why? Because they sin daily, just like we do. Now, we don't do it willfully. We fall into temptation. We fall in those battles. Hopefully, you don't do it willfully. But we fall into sin. We lose those battles daily. But thankfully, we have a sacrifice that continually, as we come and we repent of our sins, washes those sins away. That's what the elect have to look forward to. But it's not easy. It is hard. Just like it's hard to keep white neat, clean. It's hard. It will be hard battles throughout our journey. We will struggle, but we can always run to God in the midst of those weaknesses and be reassured and helped through our struggles. We looked at the apostles through their journeys. They're not perfect. They struggle just like we do. We must understand this is what the elect of God looks like. This is what they look like. So when we get on into verses 12 through 15 here in Colossians 3, in with the new. Going back to the whole idea of losing weight, you know, we have to exercise, absolutely. We must put in the work. We must eat right. And so that means getting rid of the fried foods, the junk food. Don't get me wrong. I am one. I love fried foods. I love fried chicken. I love those things. It's wonderful. It tastes good. But in order to lose that weight and to be healthy, we must push out the old and bring in the new, the fresh food that will help us be healthy. Years ago, feels like years ago, I went on what's called a plant-based diet for, it was 7 months. I lost 10 pounds a month by just eating plant-based foods. And let me tell you, I felt great, but I hit a slippery slope and it's all downhill from there. I felt great. I looked great. It was a great time, but I fell off the wagon. And let me tell you, it's hard to get back on because I knew the struggles I went through during that time. It was hard. But there are so many things, because when we look at Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." So what we have here are the characteristics of God. We see who God is in this text, and we are to put these things on, replace sin with all of these characteristics, good characteristics. That's what we are called to do, in with the new, out with the old. We no longer worry about who we once were. We have nothing to do with that old self. We are to put it to death, put it out of existence. It no longer exists in this world. It no longer exists in our little world. It's now all about serving and glorifying Christ. That's what the new individual is all about. When you lose weight, it's all about keeping that weight off and being healthy. It's a new you. You're no longer that obese, overweight individual. You are now healthy. You are now living a life that wants to be healthy. And so we have that attitude when we come to Christ and we see those benefits, those blessings that we receive. We see that it's much better than what we were before. Because Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 29, or 17 through 19, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." We have been reconciled through Christ. We were once separated, we were once lost in our sins, but when we come to Christ and we are immersed into his death, burial, and we are raised like he was in his resurrection, we walk in newness of life and we are now a new creation. The old has passed away. It's a beautiful process, but it is a tough process from there on out. I remember years ago when I was immersed and received salvation. I went to school the next day, and I'll tell you, I was on fire. I was telling people what had happened, but slowly, over time, temptation, being made fun of, things like that happen. It tears you down, and you start making mistakes, and eventually what happens, some people give up. They don't continue because it becomes too hard. Thankfully, I continued. I wasn't perfect, but I continued trying to do my best, live my best for God. It's a hard journey, but it's well worth it. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. "Now that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Paul never focused on his past. Once he came and knew Christ, was immersed, he was solely focused on glorifying Christ, preaching Christ to all that he came into contact with. Wasn't worried about, well, I left this behind and I left these individuals behind. That was his past. That was his old self that was in sin. That was his old self that persecuted Christ. Now he is serving Christ. He is looking to save as many souls as he can until he takes his last breath. I have seen people live too long in the past and it does terrible things. They end up always in trouble. They're in sin. They have been separated from God. They live in the past. I often wonder what keeps people, especially from their teenage years to into their 30s, they continue to get drunk. What benefits do they receive from that? Nothing. I'll tell you, hangovers get worse as the older you get. But not just drinking, fornication. What benefits does it bring you? Lying, what benefits does it bring you? Eventually, it will all catch up to you. And you will find yourself down and out, wondering, what's my purpose? You have an empty void. You won't know what to do with yourself. You feel dirty. We should not focus on our old life, but on the new life that we have began with Christ. That's what the elect do. That's what Paul and the apostles did. That's what all the disciples, the followers of Christ, did. They focused on Christ. And now they are in paradise because They dedicated their entire life to Christ. They focused solely on Christ. And so we see focus on Christ with this new year. We're still early. We're January 5th. Focus on Christ every day you wake up. Stay in His Word. Have a prayer life. And you'll see the difference. I told two young men in the back earlier this morning, 1 to 4 hours a day in Scripture. It doesn't have to be all at once. But if you would do that for a month or even longer, you will see a difference in your attitude and what you're focused most on. Sadly, many people won't even give an hour a week to studying Scripture. They won't give an hour a week to prayer. Eventually, those individuals will see themselves on the other side of the fence. They will see themselves slipping back into their old ways, sinful ways. And they have no one to blame but themselves. In Colossians 3, back in our main text here, verses 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Individuals who do this, who dwell in the Word of Christ, they will find that their life is lined up perfectly and that they have a view of the future and they know where they are going. They see a change in their attitude. They see that desire to want to serve Christ and not the world. They see it. Yes, you will still have temptation. It's everywhere. You'll have those battles. But you will be ready for them. You will fight. Doesn't mean you'll never lose, but you will be prepared. And when you do sin, understand, I know that I can run back to the Father. We see the parable of the prodigal son. A son who took his part of the inheritance, went out into the world, squandered it, lived among the pigs, was even about to eat what the pigs ate. And he didn't know if his father would accept him back, but he went back to his father, and we see how his father reacted. He welcomed them back with open arms, and God is always there waiting for you to come back. He knows you're going to sin. He knows you won't be perfect, but he's still willing to bring you back as long as you come and repent for your old ways, for the ways of sin. And so we see that even Paul and them, I'm sure, had their battles. I'm sure Paul and them struggled daily. We see on a few occasions, we see that Paul had to rebuke Peter at one point. We see Paul himself shout out in anger towards some Pharisees. Nobody is perfect. We see the human side of these men who devoted their entire life to Christ. Peter denied Christ 3 times. But you know, Peter didn't run off and leave. He repented. He did what was right. He came with a penitent heart. And we see he became a very powerful figure to bring many to Christ. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We were once these things. We see the list in Colossians 3. We see a list in Galatians. We see a list in 1 Corinthians. And now here, just a few things in Titus that Paul mentions. We were once these things. But thankfully, by the grace of God, He sent His Son down here to die so that we may have a way to obtain eternal life. And thank God that Christ rose from the dead. And now is at the right hand of our Father. Understanding we were once these things, but now we walk in newness of life. We have committed our life to serving Christ, to serving a higher purpose. You won't find such a purpose in the world in sin. All you will find is emptiness. And so many don't understand. They think they have it well. They think, well, I have everything I need. I'm perfect. But it comes out of the mouth, but on the inside, they're hurting. On the inside, they're empty. They're looking. They're searching for something more. Well, that more is only found in Christ. And so when we look at this new year, the new me, we must continually work on the new man. We must continually focus on Scripture, learning and growing every day, becoming mature Christians spiritually, and going out and teaching others. That should be our main focus this year. One focus that we could really focus on is maybe getting one or two Bible studies a month, going out and teaching people. But not only that, conducting ourselves in such a holy manner, cutting out all filth, cutting out entertainment that's not right, and really embracing being Christ-like. So if you're here this evening, if you're not a Christian, I pray and hope that you decide to put Christ on tonight. Don't wait, because we may not have that time. Put Christ on tonight. And this is where you start, by hearing and believing the word, Romans 10:17 and John 3:16, and then repenting of your sins, Acts 3:19, confessing your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10, but it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized, immersed for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26 through 27, Acts 22:15 through 16. And then you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. This is the steps, first steps you take to becoming that new creation. Putting off sin, your sins that had no benefit, and making room for Christ and all the blessings that come with Him. And one day receiving eternal life. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, don't remain in that sin. There's no reason to. There's no benefit in it. Come forward, repent of your sins, and renew your walk with Christ. Be that new creation once again, focusing on Christ and making Christ your entire purpose. So if you're here this evening and need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.